Hey, everybody. It's the Drive School Podcast. I am Pastor Goodman, your host, my friend, Pastor Matt Richard. How are you?
It's good to see you, Harrison.
Good to see you, too. As we record this, we got the kingdom of the right, the kingdom of it's an election year, and that's uncomfortable. It is Palm Sunday right around the corner as we're sitting down to do this. And in both cases, we get to sort of have uncomfortable conversations because everybody sort of has presuppositions when it comes to politics, when it comes to the people in charge. So we should probably ask Jesus. Pastor, what does Jesus say about the people in charge?
All right. Wow. Where do we even start with
that? Poke the bear.
Poke the bear. Wow. Okay. So as I was mentioned to you just briefly before we hit record on this, we had our text study, which we do every week with a bunch of other pastors, and we were wrestling with this whole idea of Palm Sunday coming up, mm-hmm. and Jesus coming in humbly and meek. And there's a passage in the Old Testament that just absolutely, you have these moments where it's like, also, right, it's just this.
That's what he meant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. And so there's a section where it says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem, the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. And so, I've read that many, many times, but every then to year, make the correlation, for the average person, just kind of like, well, what does that mean? Which to me, it's like, I read that, okay, what does that mean? Well, these are instruments of war, like the chariot, the war horse. So it'd be like, we could contemporize that saying, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. It'd be, I can cut off the nuclear warheads from Russia, right? I can cut off the chemical weapons from, Iraq, So there's a sense where these are instruments of war. They're means of accomplishing power. And so that goes back to your original question. What do we say with those who are in power? Now, obviously, those who are in power are to use that power for the benefit of keeping good order, right? Keeping good order in the land. But what can happen is that the seduction of power, we can use power, all of us in positions of leadership or in our vocations, we can use power to avoid suffering, to establish well-being for ourselves. We become very narcissistic, very inward focused with that power. To avoid bad things. And we expand our territories, we can expand our land, we can expand our wealth by the means of force in order to what? Be comfortable, to provide safety, to provide luxurious, comfort for ourselves.
I love the way you kind of painted this picture because it lets us address the good use of government, the good use of the rulers that God has given us. But it also confronts us with what old Adam will do to this phrase, good order. I'm very content to call anything good order as long as it doesn't hurt me. Like regardless of whether or not the house is in order, regardless of whether or not the kids are taken care of, regardless of whether or not the people I've been given to serve are being served, if I don't hurt, I'm doing a pretty good job. Good order is just what makes my life easier. And that's actually not what leaders do or should.
Right. And so we contrast this, obviously, mm-hmm. the Zechariah passage, we contrast that with Jesus, right? And so, again, a corrupt leader, let's just say it that way, a corrupt leader will use power and force, use the chariot and use whatever means possible to establish a dominion, to establish a kingdom, to bring in a utopic bliss for themselves and those closest to them. And yet here we have Jesus, who is ultimately the King of Kings. I mean, ultimately, the one, the Messiah, and he comes into Jerusalem, not on a mighty war horse, not in a chariot to establish his kingdom by force, but he comes in by authority and he comes in by meekness. And I just love that word meek that's used in the New Testament when it describes Christ. It's also in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. And the mm-hmm. word meek, I don't know about you, but when I heard that word meek, I always think the word mousy or scared or timid.
Right, yeah.
But I think we can properly translate that to mean spiritually composed, not easily moved, not easily offended. So there's a spiritual composure. I heard actually it was a secular philosopher that said this. He was talking about this word meek, and he said it's, and I think he did a good job of it. He said, meekness is to have your sword sheathed, but not to pull it out, to have that control. The sword is in the sheath. You have the power, but you don't pull it out because you're spiritually composed.
Well, you're now painting a picture of Jesus who would not come down from the cross, who would not send armies of angels to confront the soldiers who came to arrest him, who right. had every much the ability to do this, but a recognition that good order was not sort of measured by whether or not he suffered, but rather whether or not his suffering would be for the people. When God does use his power this way, it is actually for our good. And he in the same way calls those in charge to do the same. You will sometimes have to use power, but it's not about you and what makes your life easiest. It's then when we talk about this thing, we get Jesus riding in on a donkey, with all of heaven, angels and archangels, fiery swords and all of that, just sort of being silent for palm branches. It's a beautiful picture when you recognize just how much power is sort of left in the sheath. I like that.
Yeah. I always found that very helpful. And I guess I think this idea of meek, I many, many times I've heard, even in my childhood, when I hear the word meek, I would think, you know, no sword, no sheath, right? You know, nothing. Mm-hmm. And then so you either kind of go this either or, where it's like no sword, no sheath. And then what you have this huge, you know, 30-pound axe, right? I mean, but both of those are not describing our Christ. Our Christ has that sword sheath. He has all authority in heaven and earth. And yet he has that spiritual composure. Why? He is not trying to avoid the suffering as so many do in our day and age, as all of us do try to avoid. And in fact, we'll many times use our means of power to avoid that, even if it means stepping on the little guy next to us. And yet here we have the Christ who keeps his sword sheathed. He goes towards Golgotha, the cross, to bleed and to die. And like you said, on that cross, he could call down legions of angels, right? It's just a boom, snap, all done with. But he willingly, on his own accord, bleeds and dies, goes towards that cross for salvation, which is just awesome.
Right. And there now lets us talk about the Zechariah language in both a now and a not yet sense. Because now we get to recognize that Jesus has died. I don't want to spoil Easter for any of you, but he comes back. It's really good news, but we still need rulers for good order. There will, however, because of the victory we have over death, come a day where ultimately we just don't need the chariots and the war horses anymore. And that's something to hang on to too. I think that there's that now and not yet, when it comes to sort of temporal power, it becomes a wonderful thing for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's this thing where, you know, like you said there, I mean, the kingdom of heaven is now, it's in Christ. We possess it 100%. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have that blessed hope where we're not trying to seek or climb or achieve or accomplish any kind of, Christian kingdom. It's right here in our midst in the word and sacrament for us. And yet at the same time, we find ourselves in this veil of tear in the kingdoms of this world. God be praised when they do operate with the means of power for the sake of good order in the proper sense, for helping those that are in need. But then at times when, well, these kingdoms of this world, when they operate improperly, well, then we call them to repentance the best we can through voting and through peaceful means to push back against that. And while at the same time knowing that we belong to the kingdom of Christ.
There's a nuance to that the entire internet and really anybody that stands to make money off of religion would absolutely despise, but I think is so important, because it's easy to paint a picture of either, you know, the Jesus who just sort of wants to create his next kingdom on earth in America. Yeah. Or punk rock Jesus, who has a problem with every single authority figure. And everybody sort of from their own backgrounds will pick one of those and lean in. But rather, when the authorities in the scriptures are called to account, it's exactly what you said. Every last one of them is using the power that they have been given by God to run from suffering themselves, to further their own gain instead of serve their people. And Jesus' issue with them is not that they have power, because if he didn't want them to have power, he's God. They just wouldn't. But rather that he would have them in this world, in this fallen world, until that last great day, use the power that they have been given, use the authority that they have, not for self-service, but for the good of their neighbor.
Absolutely. I mean, just to reiterate what you just said there, Jesus says to Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. Okay. So check on that side. And yet at the same time, he calls us in the Holy Scriptures to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And so there's a sense of we respect those in authority and power. And yet at the same time, realizing that his kingdom is not of this world. And yet at the same time, we see with the book of Acts, the disciples, when their push comes to shove, they say, we'd rather obey God than man. And so there's a bunch of nuances on this. But yeah, it's so easy to slip on a simple nuance into the ditch and to lose perspective. But ultimately, the great perspective for us this Palm Sunday is that the one who has all authority, all power, keeps his sword sheathed as he goes to the cross for you and for me.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
Yeah, good stuff.